Forging a new relationship between the university and the community. That's what Rural Reimagined is all about. The program started in the communities of the Upper Cumberland, then expanded all across the state. We continue our conversation with Dr. Michael Akins, Director of Innovation and Entrepreneurship.
You've mentioned doctoral students. You've mentioned students in graphics. What's the benefit to them?
The benefit is twofold. So first of all, we, with our interns, we actually pay them a highly competitive wage. Sometimes they may not get paid, but they're going to get academic credit. I'm actually working with an intern right now to so that she can get 6 hours of credit over the summer in advancement of her graduation. But what the real benefit is they are getting real world career ready experience. And that is the most important thing. They can go out into the workforce, whatever they're going to do, they're going to have a resume built, and it's going to say, and it's going to show, here's all the things that I did. Here's how I, you know, in addition to what I have on paper on my resume, here's how I actually put that into action. And what I always tell my students is differentiation is so important. There's going to be, you know, with any hiring manager, with any marketing job, for example, they're going to have 100 resumes on their desks. Once they get to narrowing that down, let's say they have three. They all have the exact same GPA. They've got the exact same degree. What really differentiates them? What puts them up at the top of the pile for consideration of being hired is that experience. Experience trumps everything.
And it's one thing to say, here's the logo I created in class. It's another to say, go to GrangerCountyTN.com.
Exactly.
And here's the logo they're using.
Exactly. Exactly. And they, Jackson County, all the other tourism projects that we utilize, they have included that in their portfolio. They can go out. A hiring manager can see it online. They can see it in action. They can see it on billboards, on T-shirts, on, you know, in stores. It's a real, actual thing that they can show. And that speaks volumes.
At the PhD level, to be able to do that real-world research.
Yes.
How beneficial is that?
Oh, that's incredibly beneficial. So first of all, when you're in a doctoral program and in many master's programs, you're actually required to do research. So a lot of the students that are involved with Rural Reimagined, they are working on their dissertation, their thesis. And so not only is it required from an academic perspective, it's giving them that actual experience. Many cases, this is the first time that they've done research before. And, you know, it's so important above and beyond just the academic requirements. We're truly showing them how to do applied research. And what applied means is that they're not just doing a survey. They're not just doing whatever type of research. They're going to take their findings from the research and they're actually going to physically apply it in whatever situation. So, you know, it could be electric vehicle research. It could be we've got some climate change research going on right now. We've got a whole host of doctoral level research. And again, they're able to apply it in the community and you can actually see the outcomes, the output and the outcomes. And it's, you know, so transformative for the students. And then again, also, you know, whether they want to go on and they want to teach, they want to get that, that big job at, you know, Oak Ridge National Lab, whatever it may be, again, that real world career ready applied research experience is right there on their resume. And they can not only have it on their resume, but they can talk articulately about it because they were immersed in it. They actually did it.
You're invested. The faculty are invested. The students are invested. And yet, I wonder, is there some hesitation at some point? Have you run into this? Because universities have walked in to different counties years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, and said, hey, we're here to help.
Right.
And they're here for a few months and then it's gone and they're on to something else.
Absolutely. We have run into that. And I know which universities you're speaking of. But, you know, what we really like to say and more importantly show is that we're here for the long haul. You know, so we started with Jackson County into 2018, first of 2019. And we continue to do things with them today. I was actually, I host a television show on WCTE called It's Your Business. I was in Granville this morning interviewing a local business owner in Granville. Just a few weeks ago, one of our design students actually developed a several graphics. And I don't want to speak too much about them because they haven't announced them formally yet. But they designed a new beautiful set of graphics for them that's going to be hugely impactful. I actually employ somebody from Jackson County. So, and Jackson County, of course, is just one example of many, but you know, we're here for the long haul because what we tell them, for example, with tourism, yes, we're going to help facilitate this brand. Once the brand is complete, that's not the end of it. That's actually kind of the beginning, right? So we're going to help them then with strategies to be able to promote themselves. You know, it can be even be as things as simple as, you know, well, how do, you gave me this EPS file. How do I use it? What does that even mean? So we help them through the printing process, how to utilize their files, and really how to optimize their processes. And again, that's just tourism is just one of many examples here.
Dr. Michael Akins is our guest. We're talking rural reimagined at Tennessee Tech. Tennessee Tech's efforts to reimagine rural life and make it better for residents, not just here in the Upper Cumberland, but across the state. Dr. Michael Akins is our guest. This started out really as a program for Tennessee Tech to give back.
Right.
But it's grown, and you mentioned all the counties across the state. So is Tennessee Tech still footing the bill entirely for that?
Well, you know, there's several answers to that. So number one, traditionally, we've actually never had a budget for Rural Reimagined. It's always been an idea to inspire, right? So we inspired our faculty to go out and get grants that are, you know, that look at rural areas. So, for example, I run the Center for Rural Innovation. That was actually started through a grant from the Economic Development Agency, which is a federal agency, and we've got over $12 million now in federally and state-sponsored awards. You know, and so technically speaking, that money, yes, is coming into Tennessee Tech, and a portion of it's going to be applied to, you know, our Rural Reimagined, but, you know, there's no line item, so to speak, you know, at Tennessee Tech, so there's not really, you know, any direct state funds going into it until July 1st, which, of course, you know, out of the governor's budget, we did, like I said a moment ago, we did get $1 million in state appropriations, and I'm really excited to say that we have received that again. And so, yes, Tennessee Tech technically is footing the bill, but it's, you know, these are, whether it's grant or state appropriations, they're directly going in to support the Rural Reimagined. So we're not taking this out of, you know, student fees or anything like that. You know, and, you know, what we're going to continue to do is to continue to write those grants, because whether it's state funding or federal funding, that is a direct investment back into the communities because of our research. This is not this is not shrimp running on treadmills, as I've been asked before. This is real applied research that's looking at critical infrastructure, cybersecurity, energy, agriculture. These things, this research that we do is specifically going directly into the communities with the express intent of transforming those communities, helping those communities. And what's really cool is that we're actually able to measure that economic impact. So not only the direct funding, we're able to measure the spending within the supply chain that occurs with our research and our technical assistance. And we're also able to measure the induced effects as well. So, you know, my goal for this year, for this $1 million that we received for this past fiscal year, is when I provide my final report to the governor's office, I want to be able to show them that they gave us $1 million. We turned it into over $15 to $20 million of impact directly in the community.
Because you're using research, you're using tools, and then you've got state partners who are willing to pony up some money.
Correct.
To help with this. But I guess the ultimate goal is to make this sustaining.
Right.
Where the communities do it themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, again, that's another tourism example. And also with our businesses, which we really haven't talked about, but whether a business gets an intern, you know, and they get to reach their next business goal, whether we help with tourism, yes, we're going to be there for the long haul with them. But ultimately, we're teaching them. We're showing them here's how to use it and here's truly how to transform. And I think that that's probably the biggest value of it. And in many ways, we can't measure that, because how do you measure, leadership? How do you measure motivation? And that's really what we're providing. We're providing that catalyst, that inspiration for the community to achieve more, do more, and be more. And it works.
Or a business going from 5 employees to 50 employees.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Dr. Michael Akins is our guest as we talk about Rural Reimagined. All this good work that is going on with the Rural Reimagined program, Dr. Michael Akins, do you worry at all that they'll become at some point more requests than you're able to fulfill?
I think that's probably the ultimate goal. We would love to have more requests than we can fulfill, but I think that we are always looking for a way Well, a couple things here. One, we always want to be proactive and think about, you know, what are the strategies that we're implementing. We want to focus our efforts on the places that need it the most. So that's why I said earlier that we really want to focus on our distressed and at-risk counties, because they're the ones that are worst, you know, economically speaking, they're the ones that are worst off. So they need the most help. So we really do focus our efforts on that. Yeah. And, you know, to answer your direct question again, I think it would be great to get in a position to where we have too many requests. And again, I'll go back to tourism here. We've got several communities, at least three, that are on the waiting list right now. But what we're doing to that effect is that, you know, we work directly with Dr. David Gallup. He is one of the great professors over in College of Art. And, you know, he's over the graphic design program. And we recently just signed on 5 of his student interns. So we have substantially expanded our capacity. So now we can start moving those ones that are on the waiting list. We can start moving them up a little bit. And then also with our small businesses, I mean, my gosh, 437 businesses over the past 3 years, that's a lot of businesses. And yes, it takes a lot of thought and a lot of time, and it takes ultimately the right student to be able to do it. But you know, we've got 10,000 great students that we can choose from at Tennessee Tech. And, you know, while our workload continues to grow, we're always thinking from a leadership perspective, how do we proactively manage and think about how do we handle that influx? Because I'll be honest with you, this time last year, before we got the $1 million and we were still in the Upper Cumberland, when I was actually applying for the next 5 years of the EDA grant and also crossing my fingers that we had, you know, that we would receive the $1 million, one of the concerns, for lack of a better word, was how are we going to take this statewide? How are we going to manage this? Well, the answer to that is that's good stewardship of the state funding, because by and large, the large percentage of the state funding actually goes towards jobs at Tennessee Tech. So we've brought on several people. We brought on some new hires that can help us, whether that be coordinate, you know, manage our interns, you know, help with the tourism. Basically, we've been able to utilize that money to really help expand our mission.
Take us beyond the boundaries of the Upper Cumberland as we wind down our conversation, and share a story or two of something that you're proud of that you've seen. Maybe just starting. We're not to the end point with the project.
But. Sure. Yeah. You know. So a couple stories for you. Well. One thing. We'll actually talk from a statewide perspective. We, as I mentioned before, we have partnered out with the Tennessee Department of Economic Community Development. In the past few years, they have actually made $1.5 billion with a B investments into broadband infrastructure in underserved areas and also industrial site development. And they wanted to know several things. First of all, they wanted to know, how can we help our rural communities even more? How can we be better stewards of our money? How can we be more efficient? And ultimately, how can we set a standard of measurement to understand if, you know, these projects are going well or poorly or right on track? So what we were able to do with some economic students and a PhD student, we actually analyzed those $1.5 billion in public investments with a software called M-Plan. Which we'll come back to here in a moment. But the point being is we built a set of tools for them at a statewide level to look granularly at the individual distressed and at-risk counties and understand, how do we better make investments here? How do we make this more efficient? And ultimately, how do we be better stewards of taxpayer money? That's pretty cool. So not only is it from a statewide perspective, we really looked at it from that rural community perspective. And then, so, you know, another really cool story is, well, actually several, you know, we've got some research that's going on right now that we are starting to, outside of the Upper Cumberland, we're actually starting to install electric vehicle chargers free of cost or free of charge, pun intended, to rural communities. And what's really cool about that is that, you know, many of them, you know, don't have that infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of federal money coming out that's going to put a lot of them, you know, every 50 miles on the interstate. And that's all great and good. But what we're really focused on is we're focused on those downtown and Main Street areas. So we want to put an electric vehicle there. The community gets it, you know, at no cost. Well, there's a little bit of upfront cost. They've got to run the conduit and pour a concrete pad. But past that, we install the level 2 or a DC charger in there, and we specifically put it in those Main Street and downtown areas, because as you are charging your EV, you're going to be parked downtown. You've got an hour or two to charge. So what are you going to do? You're going to shop in the shops. You're going to dine in the restaurants. And what's really, really cool about that is that, again, is a very multidisciplinary approach. So we've got electric vehicles, electric engineers working on it. So they're doing engineer things. But they're also collaborating with us at the Center for Rural Innovation and our economic students because we want to be able to measure what is that impact on the communities. And so, we're using that implant software that I mentioned to understand, basically construct a spending pattern of, you know, tourists coming into these towns, how much do they spend? And then, you know, as they spend, that's going to support jobs, that's going to support businesses, that's going to provide taxes that county's residents did not have to pay. And so we want to be able to measure and understand better what are those investments so that, you know, whether the state or, you know, federal government are going to make continued investments in these type of, in the EV space, how can they be better stewards? How can they truly affect economic and community development? Because, you know, a lot of times people will think, oh, well, that's, you know, government's, you know, government spending and that's my taxpayers. My tax dollars at work. Well, they really are at work because this is, whether it's our research, whether it's our, our economic development, whatever it is that we're doing in the community, those dollars that we get from federal or state, they're going right back into the community to make them more resilient and higher level of vitality. And that's one thing that is just really makes me smile about what we do.